Hello and welcome to the Raptor Show, powered by DoorDash on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I'm your host, Wayne Malou. For the first segment tonight, we are joined by Sportsnet reporter and analyst Amy Ottaber. Amy, how you doing?
Hey, Lou. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I just got back from practice. The Raptors were putting in extra work. Obviously, all the guys that were healthy. And it's good to see because, you know, the results on the court have been a little bit... Let's not kid ourselves. The results on the court have not been great. But I wanted to ask you first, how are you? Because the Raptors just went on a six-game road trip out west that took you through Portland, Utah, Sacramento, San Francisco, Memphis, and then Indiana. How tired were you by the end of that trip in Indiana?
You know, there's a whole different respect for these guys. I know they get paid a lot of money, but they're out there playing. Because just to travel alone, three different time zones, it just felt like it's a lot. So for me, I guess until you've actually done that and been on that schedule, it's been. And then we came home and it was right away. The Sportsnet broadcast we had, of course, the last two games. So Boston and Memphis. So that's why you didn't see me at practice today.
I can't fault you for that at all.
Yeah. No, but it's been awesome. I mean, you look at the record as you mentioned. I mean, obviously you won. Definitely want some more wins, but it's been awesome, and I still have hope here. These guys, they haven't gotten blown out yet. I'm probably going to say that about 10 times in the next 20 minutes with you, because I think that's something that people need to remember. As rough as things have been for the Raptors, when you look at end results in games, I haven't seen too many blowouts, right? And I was at Golden State. I was at Utah. When things look like maybe they were turning a corner and, here we go. And all of a sudden, they just kept hanging in. And I think that's why my phone's going off. That's why I've got a little bit more faith than maybe the average people, I guess.
Yeah. No, that's a great point, actually. Because you know what? Obviously, the Raptors are shorthanded, and that has factored into a lot of these results. But you know what? The competitiveness is still there. I think they're still playing defense. At least the defense looked better last night. I understand that Memphis didn't have Ja Morant, but I think Jaren Jackson was still giving them problems. Desmond Bane was shooting the lights out, including a really big three that really killed the Raptors' momentum at the end of the game when they looked like they might surge ahead. I think that Bane three was just such a nail in the coffin. But, I mean, are you seeing more from the defense at least, especially for some of these reserves who maybe offensively they're obviously not looked to for scoring consistently, but defense is something that everyone can bring.
Yeah, and I mean – I say this all the time. When we talk about new pieces, new faces, guys not playing necessarily in the role that they were brought into. We talk about chemistry on the offensive end. And I think chemistry is just as important, if not more, on the defensive end, right? Because sometimes your back is to your teammate, or sometimes it's the communication piece is so much more big and important on the defensive end, at least vocally. And you can see that, I mean, things have gotten better. I mean, Nick Nurse, again, obviously was not happy leaving Indiana, but against Boston, and I would say in streaks last night, you can certainly say that at least there's an element of effort, and they've got to will their way into playing, and now it becomes closing out possessions or big games. And I'm gonna match you on the big three, because I think the biggest three of the night was the one that didn't count, which was Freddie's late three, in which they called that illegal screen on Precious. And if there's one call that blows my mind in the game of basketball, it's an illegal screen where it's like, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought that was such a huge, defeating moment for the Toronto Raptors last night, because that baby dropped, and, you know, like, then you're talking about the roof blowing off Scotiabank and that being a game again. And it's just, it's unfortunate for Toronto, but they just haven't been able to get those breaks right at the end of, or when they're closing games in. They just can't get over that hump or take a two possession lead, and we've seen it so many times in this past week, right, where they might go up one or they might get it to three or four or two, and they just, you know, when you get a 5-point lead in a close game, you kind of have a little bit more, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we just haven't been able to see them get over that hump yet.
Yeah, I mean, that was also Precious's sixth foul of the game, although Precious was struggling, but and I definitely want to touch on Precious's game with you in a minute, but yeah, that was Precious's sixth foul, and I think it bothered me too. Well, first off, I think Brooks, I mean, let's be honest, Brooks is an agitator. I think he plays with a lot of attitude, and I think he was very effective last night, especially defensively against Fred. But you know, he kind of sold that call a little bit as well. But, I mean, honestly, the reason that bothered me was mostly because Steven Adams was just, like, crunching people all night with his screens. And I'm just thinking, like, come on, you can let one small little screen from Precious Achiuwa go. Meanwhile, Steven Adams is just, like, giving people concussions. And, that was a tough game. It was a tough game. But I actually wanted to get into this as well because so the news came down today that the NBA has concluded their tampering investigation into the Kyle Lowry sign and trade and also the Lonzo Ball sign and trade deals that were completed in the offseason. The conclusion is that Miami will be fined a second round pick for their tampering of Kyle Lowry. My thing is, shouldn't the Raptors get some compensation? Like, I get Miami losing the pick, but shouldn't the Raptors get that second round pick, or am I just trying to beg for scraps here? I mean,
you know,
we lost the player.
Right? You know, I do. I really do like you. You know, I let you all post that picture of me on social media today.
Oh.
I really do love you. But I think, I don't know. And listen, I'm not going to speculate in terms of I'm not behind closed doors, but this seemed like it was a parting, it was time kind of thing. And so I don't know. I don't know how much pushback there is. I mean, Kyle's a free agent. Mm-hmm. Kyle wants to go play with Jimmy. Kyle, you know, in his mind, wants that, like, short-term chance of a championship. And as someone who lived in Miami for 7 years, I get it. Like, I'm not going to lie on it.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't – I hear what you're saying, but at the same time, like, I'm not sure how much it's about Toronto versus how much it's about Miami. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, look, I knew when I asked the question. But, you know, that's just the hustler mindset right here for me. I think it does make sense because there's video evidence. Like, there was a video that sort of documentary that Kyle was making about his free agency decision. You know, players do these kind of things. And there's him on a video with the speakerphone talking to Eric Spoelstra about how this is three years in the making and things like this. And, you know, whatever. I mean, obviously, these deals happen. And, you know, we only find out about it after the fact unless we're like Woj and Shams. But, like, at the same time, Miami losing a pick, that does make sense to me. What have you made overall from the return from the Lowry sign and trade? Clearly, you don't get that much from the sign and trades, but we got Goran back. Goran is now going to be away from the team. And then Precious, like, does the return from it underwhelm you in a way? Because I think some fans are a little bit disappointed, even with the perspective of you don't get that much in a sign and trade, generally.
Yeah, I mean, listen, when you look at Precious's field goal percentage in particular, I can understand why a lot of fans aren't necessarily happy. And I am I love Precious. I love his game. I think he long-term is part of the plans long-term. I think when you look at the way, and especially, I'm sorry, you look at what Scottie's doing, you are absolutely trying to maybe build guys that are going to play that type of basketball around what Scottie brings to the table. And Precious does. He can rebound and he can run, okay? And I do think his shooting, I know last night he was, 1 for 8 last night. So I understand that's not very flashy, but I think we actually spoke about his shot selection. I think it was over the weekend at practice. And he just said, he's like, yeah, like he's not necessarily looking over his shoulder, like questioning his – I don't think he takes bad. He has been good in the last couple weeks in terms of his shot selection. Obviously, you want to see a couple more go in. But when you were in Memphis, when we were in Memphis and he went 3 for 3 from long in that third quarter, like, obviously you want to meet in the middle somewhere, right?
Yeah.
But, again, I think what he brings to the table, and he's a worker, you know, he really does. He works his tail off, and I think his type of game is what Toronto is looking to build on, right? They want to get out and run. They want to get stops, which has been it, and then get out and run. And it's all kind of like this, like, vicious circle, right? If one thing's falling off, the other one's going to. But I'm still totally great and happy, and I am. Like, if Kyle's going to sign and trade and go to Miami, when they announced that Precious was coming, I think we've talked about this before, I was really excited. And 21 games into the season, I still am. Nothing has changed at all.
Right, for sure. And you know what? With Precious, it's hard to look at the overall numbers because he does kind of swing a little bit wildly in terms of his offensive production. Defensively, I think he's mostly, for a guy who's in his second year, like, decent. In his role, but I think you do see the flashes of upside. Like when Precious is going strong like he did in that first Memphis game where he had 17 points in the third quarter. What are some of the things that you that really stand out to you about his game?
Well, I think playing with a guard like Fred is like that just one that's got a great eye, a great passer, right? Because and can come off screens really good because Precious can set a mean screen and get to the rim. So I think that that's obviously on the offensive side. I like when Precious is catching the ball on the move and when that game slows down for him, right? He sees like the gaps, the angles
right.
in which he can attack the rim. But I say it again, and I don't think it's ever going to change. My favorite thing that Precious brings to this game is his bust out dribble, which means he can grab a defensive rebound. And I'm not saying he's got to go rim to rim and take a crazy shot. But when you have a, you can't see me, but I'm doing a little quotes over my forehead, a big, because he's not like your traditional big, did you see that? That can handle the ball. That's a great rebounder that can push two or three dribbles up the center of the court. You have got to surround that kind of player with elite shooters who can get out, run in transition, and spot up, right? And that's like when you look at how Golden State found so much success over the years. It's because they had Draymond and Andre Iguodala playing that type of game, right? The bust out, you got elite shooters running. And obviously, I'm not comparing anyone to Steph Curry right now or Klay Thompson. But I'm just saying, when you have capable shooters that can catch in rhythm and score, the most important for me, thing for me anyways is a defensive rebound and a bust out dribble on that end of the court to initiate that type of offense.
Yeah, and listen, I wanted to get into the shooting as well because I love when you put your coaching cap on a little bit and then you put your player experience on and we start talking about some of the things that you can do to engineer some more spacing because Raptors obviously down some shooters right now. But we'll talk about that in a second. I think with Precious, what you mentioned in terms of the game slowing down for him and knowing how to play in some of that space, I mean, you know, when you see him and the last few games have really illustrated this against Indiana, against Boston, against Memphis here, there's not a lot of the defenses aren't really pressed up on the Raptors' bigs. Let's say that. They're not really trying to corral the big in particular. They're really trying to hone in on taking away Pascal, taking away Fred, and that means the big is usually helping off of guys like Precious. And there's a lot of space for Precious to operate in as they sort of shrink the floor against other guys. As a big, how do you attack that space? Because they're obviously, you know, it's not ideal for the spacing, but at the same time, there has to be ways for bigs to, when they're not covered like that, to get themselves open and present themselves as a threat offensively to sort of help open up the floor for the guards.
Yeah, well, space, I always say two words together, spacing and timing, right? It's picking and choosing when you're maybe sitting in that kind of like mid-post area versus taking a step to the rim, presenting your hands versus gapping it out to the three-point line, right? I think timing is always really important and being and having that continuity, especially whether it's in transition or when you have to settle down and play that half-court offense. Spacing and timing to me go hand in hand. And so I that's chemistry and that's reps and that's understanding the system and the offense and reading your teammates' body language, right? When Fred is attacking the rim, understanding where he might go or the read he might make. Not only is spacing crucial, but it is the timing on the cut. And then, so when you see like those kind of reverse cuts or vacuum cuts or relief cuts on the 3-point line, like for bigs, I mean, we know Kem will shoot a three. We know Precious will shoot a three. And sometimes I would say this, and I know a lot of people who are so concerned about the field goal percentage aren't going to love this that much, but sometimes it's more important to take the shot than make it, at least early on in the season, because if you are, look at what JV did. Like, hate to say it, but you look at what JV, do you think they tried to start guarding him a little bit more and that changed? Do you think, the Clippers. Do you think the Clippers went in the locker room and said, hey, we've got to adjust defensively. We have to start guarding the 6'11", 7-footer now at the 3-point line because he's hit 7 in the first half, right? Yeah. Like, so he might not make another one, but if he's going to take it, and I mean, we have seen Kem hit a couple, but we've seen Precious hit a couple too. So I don't know if that answers your question, but I say as a big, it's spacing, but to me, it's more timing, understanding like when to take that duck in step. And, you know, if you're Precious or like who else, like again, and Steven Adams is guarding you, you're not going to post him up for 10 seconds and hold your position, but you might be able to, if you wait for the right time, you might be able to duck in on him weak side when he's got his head turned. It's timing more than it is spacing at that point, in my opinion.
Right. No, first off, this is exactly the kind of insight that I want to get from you, obviously, because I know you also, not the pressure style game, but, you know, you had the low post game, as you mentioned before.
I wish. Are you kidding me?
You said you were a premier screen assist cutter.
Yes, I was a screen assister. You know what Steven Adams did yesterday in that 1 second? That was me. Nothing else he did, but that one screen he set, that was maybe what I did.
The one where where Scotty was down for the count? Yeah, that one was tough. That one
unfortunately. Was tough. That, but I would say, right, like that's why you might call up screen in transition. Those are deadly. Oh, I'm happy that Scott. And speaking of, like, did you see Scotty stumble in the tunnel? That's a whole other story.
Yeah. He's too excited. He's not like in a bad way. He's just too excited.
If you go back and watch the video, you can see myself sitting in the tunnel. Oh. And, well, if you go back and watch it, I know I'm getting off track here, but let me just tell you, let me take 2 seconds to explain what happened.
Of course.
The game's about to start. This is a very busy time for Amy because there's a lot of, like, live national television happening, and you know there's a lot going on at that time of the game. So I'm sitting in this
big
chair.
Deal. We get it. You're a big deal.
Not a big deal, but just a busy deal. And we're sitting there, and I'm sitting there kind of like collecting my thoughts for a second, and I see the flag right on the right corner of my eye, which is how the Raptors run out, and then I see this tumbling act, and I think it's like a Dance Pack member or something. Mm-hmm. But it took me like 2 seconds to realize that is not a Dance. That guy is way too big. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's Scotty. Then I'm thinking, did my chair do that? Like, did I just take out the potential rookie of the year? Like, the Raptors are having so many injury problems. I see Scotty down. It's very tight spacing. I was like freaking out for a couple minutes. And I like pulled Scotia Bank employees. I was like, did he trip or did he trip? Did he run into my chair? Because I didn't feel him hit my chair. Like, it was a thing for a couple minutes, Will. I was like, oh my gosh, what just happened?
Wow.
Then they said, no, he just kind of like tripped over the floor. Because there is, as you know, in that tunnel, there is kind of like a little bump.
Yeah, there's like a little carpet, where they were like running bump. Yeah. There's a lot of wires.
Sorry. Anyways.
Wow. So okay. Scotty,
but then in the video, he gets up and he's got a big smile on his face. And I was like, I wasn't laughing at first because I was very like, did I just do that? But so if you go watch the video, like, I definitely have a screenshot of me, like, what just happened? Oh my gosh.
Okay. Well, that's good then. That's good, because otherwise this would be a very different phone call right now.
Oh my God. No, what are you talking about? I have to be getting a lawyer? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, seriously. What was that? Oh, we were talking about Precious. Right. I mean, I think, by the way, I think what you're saying about in terms of, finding the gaps and knowing sort of when to sort of make these little subtle moves. And I think that's really interesting because, you know, the trope is always that bigs take long to develop. And I think part of, at least my theory with this, is like bigs take long to develop because bigs all have to play the team game, whereas guards can sometimes play the individual game. And you can always develop your individual game on your own time. And so maybe there's more of an accelerated timeline on that. Whereas bigs rarely have the ball, which means they always have to be playing the team game. And it just takes, especially younger guys, like, it takes a while to learn that. Do you agree with that?
Totally. And I would say this, undersized bigs.
Right.
Because you're not, like, it's different when you're Shaquille O'Neal and, like, your biggest curve is, like, staying, keeping your body going rim to rim, right, for however many years. Like, and folks posting up. And by the way, like, my nickname when I was in high school, Shaq, it's no cut against him. Like, that was what I was like, nobody can move me. And you know what I mean? Yeah, like, when you're undersized, you have got to figure out not only the spacing of the game, the timing of the game, and your advantages against every matchup. And then, again, as a new face into a new system, playing with new guards, and new guards that are, like, pretty good leaders, right? In a Fred especially, I would say, like, there's a lot to navigate and figure out. So I totally could agree with that. It's a tough position in terms of, like, just, you know, the little intricacies of a game. And then when you're expecting the expectations to grab a ball and use that bust out, you're also now making reads in transition. So it's, again, I'm not sitting here and I'm not going to sit here and like say I'm disappointed in anyone or anything right now. I still am very optimistic about the vision and plan of this organization.
Okay, good. It's good to know because I think a lot of people are starting to feel the frustration. They started 2-8 in Tampa last year. of the season, and now they're like almost 2-8 at home this year at Scotiabank. So I think some people are struggling with that a little bit. I mean, obviously part of it comes down to the injuries, right? And like, you know, the Raptors are shorthanded. And
yeah, that's all of it though. Like, but well, I will say this, like, this is the NBA. Like, this is the NBA. You have to have like your best players healthy to consistently win games. Like, so, and I'm not, and that's not a cut against the second unit, because I do think people don't understand either. Like, just coming in and out of the lineup, playing a different role, playing different minutes, being a new face. Most of these guys, it's just so much. So if people are going to sit there and cut this team up because of a record, I'm just like not sure how much you're actually sitting down and watching a basketball game or paying attention to the league. You are not going to consistently win basketball games in the NBA without like your top guys talented, ready to go. Like, Pascal did not start the season. Like, let's not forget that either, right? Like, all of a sudden it's like, oh, he's back, and it's going to take some time. And I think he's been great, but I mean just in terms of like the overall team and having him there. Mm-hmm. Then OG, like, you look at last night and you look at Jaren Jackson Jr. Now, if OG was in that ball game, you know what I mean? And so what the Raptors want to do, 100%, what the Raptors want to do on both sides of the basketball, like, OG is so important to that, right? Mm-hmm. Gary's a shot creator. Gary is a defender. Like, he brings so much. Like, so again, like, we're going to sit here and it just was, you know, I'm not like trying to spread propaganda. I understand frustration. At the same time, like, you have to be realistic. And I would say what I've seen from this team, and I have been traveling, I have been sitting in every single gym on the road with them. They do fight back. There is like an element of effort. When you look at the way that they're still competing in terms of steals, offensive rebounds, like, those are hustle and effort stats. And so you're going to jump off the bandwagon just to jump right back on it in, you know, short or long term? I don't know. Like, I've been around a lot, like, watch a lot of hoops in my life and stuff. And I guess I just get more, I'm more intrigued by certain things. And for a group of guys that have not been healthy together yet this season, I'm not paying attention to the rest.
You know what? That's fair, and I think a lot of people need to hear that, including myself. So I'm just gonna be completely honest about that. No, I mean, I think it's just you kind of get lost in the emotions of the game sometimes, and I think on the bigger picture, like, you understand what's going on. Obviously, injuries are happening. It's a very young team. We are seeing. Yeah. Because of the injuries, we are seeing some of the bench guys come in. You know, I mean, what have you made out of guys like Isaac Bonga or, you know, Malachi Flynn's getting some run? Are you seeing some of these players sort of take some of these advantages? Obviously, they're not going to come in and score OG-level points, or they're not going to give you the type of shots that Gary gives you. But are you seeing them at least bring something to the table when you check into the game?
I think it's starting to get a little bit better, right? Especially, I would say, Malachi, again, I know he's been taking a lot of hits on Twitter, but this is a guy that just had inconsistent minutes. Don't remember, last year, he got thrown into, like, some heavy situations, and he did well. And so this year, I would imagine, especially at a guard and in times a point guard position, to come in and play for a couple minutes here and there. It's tough, but you're starting, and I know Fred has talked about it, just developing a bit of chemistry in Malachi. I think that's so big. I love Fred off the ball. I think when Fred's off the ball, he can, you know, get lost or at least draw a lot of attention, weak side, come off screens. We know, like, he's a wonderful shooter coming off weak side ball screens or fade screens. And so Malachi's one of the guys that kind of allows Fred to do that, I think, a little bit more consistently. And I think we're starting to see flashes of that, which is great. Isaac Bonga, Nick Nurse in the preseason said, you know, he's actually he's a very good basketball player. He can play, but we're having trouble finding minutes in our rotation. So now you're seeing him plug it. I thought yesterday he took the ball to the rim aggressively a couple times, like really hard, right? Yeah. You can see him with the ability to attack. So again, like, I don't know if this is a guy that's going to find his way into the regular rotation when the team's healthy, but right now, just getting in there and getting maximum effort. I mean, I'm excited because I'm going to start. I will be with the 905 for a little bit now, coming early December, and I don't know if we're going to see Isaac or not, but I kind of hope we do, because I'd love to in that setting as well. Mm-hmm. But again, like, the second unit, I mean, what unit is, I mean, come on, I know I'm talking to, like, his number one fan right now, but it's hard not to be. I might be number two. He's awesome, and I mean, you saw what he did in that, the debut in Memphis, like, just being on the court, his length, I mean, he's so fun out there, and the team celebrates him so much. Again, it's heavy. It's heavy when you're not winning. It's heavy when you're not healthy. So it was a perfect time for you to get back in the lineup and get healthy. Again, he's just returning. So I'd like to see the second unit find some sort of like cohesion soon. But I spoke to Nick about this recently, and he said like 2 or 3/5 of that second unit are starting for us right now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's all you need to know, right? Like, I mean, it's just, and these are all, again, younger, newer faces. So I keep my glass half full when it comes to this team.
Right. Amy, we love hearing your perspective on this team. I think we needed this positivity and just in general, your wisdom. So Amy, thank you for joining us on the show.
Thanks for having me. It's all, anytime you need to pick me up, right?
All right. We're only going to call you after losses from now on. All right, Amy.
Oh, thanks for that. Those are my favorite days, favorite conversations.
There you go. All right.
Well, thanks, Will.
No problem. That was Amy Otterbert, sideline reporter with Sportsnet. We're going to take a quick break right here. I'm your host, Will Liu, and you're listening to The Raptor Show, powered by DoorDash on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And now, a message from our presenting sponsor. Discover the best eats of your neighborhood on DoorDash without leaving your home. So many options to choose from, and ordering is easy. For a limited time, you can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code THEFAN25. Fill up for tip-off. Order today through the DoorDash app or DoorDash.com. DoorDash. Delicious. Delivered. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. Welcome back to The Raptor Show, powered by DoorDash on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I'm your host, Will Liu, and I'm joined, segment two, Big V, Vivek Jacob of Raptors.com. V, what's going on, man?
Nothing much. Back from another Raptors practice. Obviously, they need all the practices they can get right now.
Oh, come on, man. We just had so much positivity with Amy Otterburn in the first half, and you're going to come through with this? Come on. Is that how you want to start?
Hey, man, you know I keep it real.
Yeah, you do.
They need it right now.
Wow, okay, all right. Let's keep it real then. So we were just at practice, as you mentioned, and we were having a conversation about the Raptors, and then I was like, let's stop this conversation because you're literally coming on the radio show. we should talk about it there. So I'm going to continue that conversation, and so I was asking yesterday, or earlier today, about Malachi, and Malachi last night didn't shoot the ball well at all, but he got all of Svi's minutes in the fourth quarter, which was interesting because Svi obviously started the game, but Malachi ended up playing more minutes. And there was actually a lot of Malachi playing with Fred. What do you think went into that decision last night from Nick to go turn to Malachi off the bench?
Well, for one thing, I do think Svi has been a little bit premeditated at times where he's determined to drive off the catch. Mm. And he, especially with Gary and OG out, like the spacing that he needs to provide is critical. And so he can't be passing up open shots to try and create off the dribble. The other part of it is obviously Dylan Brooks was all over Fred VanVleet. And so I just think having Malachi in the game gave them an option to have Flynn run the team and have Fred come off ball and try to get some shots that way.
Yeah, that makes sense. Honestly, that makes a lot of sense. And, I didn't mind it, to be honest. For me, I'm skeptical always of the two point guard lineup there with Fred and Malachi just because they're a little bit small. As mm-hmm. a group, I understand that the Raptors had success with the two point guard lineups, and it was Kyle and Fred. And I liked those lineups, and I supported and defended those lineups. Having said that, though, that was Kyle and Fred. Those guys are both really solid defenders for their positions. They're able to guard two guards effectively. I do think that there's a lack of size, obviously, mm-hmm. with that group. But at the same time, as you mentioned, there are some positives. And, you know, did you like the shots that Malachi got last night? So on the whole, on the box score, he's at 2 for 8, including 1 for 7 from three. But I don't know. I wasn't like he was like just jacking them up, you know?
No, that's the thing. Process-wise, I think Nick and coaching staff, the players will be happy with the shots that he's taking, the way that he's playing too, right? And like Nick was talking at practice today about how last season, if you look at a bunch of possessions when Malachi was on the court, the offense wasn't organized at all. And that was sort of the leap he needed to make as a point guard. That's such an important part of his role, to have the team be organized in the half court. And now you're seeing that come along a bit more here this season. And then, you know, the shots that he was getting, it was catch and shoot. It was, you know, you look at that shot he made with 90 seconds left to cut the lead down to five. That's a big shot that he needs to hit. Obviously, he needs to hit more of those to create the adequate spacing. But I think process-wise, Malachi is a lot further along than he was last season.
Yeah, that's good. That's good to know. And that's good to hear, because the Raptors clearly need a lot from – well, not, you know, a lot. They need something from that backup point guard position. And I think Delano has given them stuff at the start of the season, but of late, it feels like Delano is migrating more off the ball. Malachi is, you know, more as that primary traditional point guard that's running the second units. And I still think there's more there. I mean, he did show enough last season where it was like, okay, if he had a strong offseason, and I thought he was pretty decent in summer league. Not that that was like everything, but still, I mean, it's not nothing. There was some momentum, at least, for Malachi heading into the season. It just felt like he just got off to such a weird start. And I understand that you're working on a Malachi story. I'm not trying to step on that at all. But have you sort of seen sort of that up and down with him in the sense that he did have a slow start to the season, but maybe he is going to come around a little bit here?
Yeah, I think it is fair to say that, you know, you look at the way Delano came on and just sort of took that backup point guard role. And now you're seeing Malachi kind of slide in there and get some opportunity. I think for Malachi, it has been a bit more of a process in figuring out what he offers best to this team that obviously wants to predicate length and strength first. But obviously it's emerging now. It's, can you push the pace? Can you create easier opportunities for your teammates? Can you knock down an open three? And so process-wise, again, I think he's coming along in that regard. You know, Nick also mentioned the word swagger, and that's probably something he needs a bit more of. And when he's on the court, like
a little bit more confidence.
Yeah, just show that, you know, especially when the ball's coming to you, like know that this is my shot. You know, we kind of saw that with Utah last year too, right? Mm-hmm. Where sometimes the ball gets to him, and because, you know, he's in his mind, he's probably thinking, okay, that's option one, that's option two, that I'm option four or five, so should I be shooting this? And you see that a little bit with Malachi, and I think just that little bit of confidence in saying, okay, I am one of the best shooters on the team, so when I get an open look, I'm going to take it, and no one's going to have a problem with it, because eventually I'm going to knock down, you know, as many as I should be.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that it's very interesting to hear Nick talk about that, because not necessarily that it's not something that you can obviously see when you watch the game, but yeah, I do think that Malachi does sometimes struggle with the confidence in terms of just like sometimes he overthinks it a little bit. I mean, it's obviously a very delicate balance between like feeling the game versus thinking the game. You should always be thinking the game, but sometimes you can overthink it a little bit. And I do see a little bit of that with Malachi. He just seemed kind of like nervous when you watch him play. He gives off a very nervous energy. But he is a pretty polished point guard. And hopefully, yeah, the Raptors obviously need some strong minutes from him, especially with Gary out of the lineup. Although, I mean, you know, maybe he's coming back a little bit. I'm not sure. He was at practice. And is there any update on Gary? I missed a press conference with Nick.
Yeah, I mean, the update is just that he practiced, and they'll see how he looks tomorrow. And obviously they'll hope that he can be back, because obviously the shooting on the floor right now, there just isn't enough around to keep the offense, you know, afloat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, going back to Malachi, I feel like with the shot making, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head there, where he's just thinking a little bit too much. And, you know, I feel like in some ways this is his rookie season, right? You look at last year playing in Tampa, all the circumstances that come with that. He even talked about, you know, just being in the facilities here, being at OVO Athletic Center. It's just a completely different situation that he now faces, right? Where he can come to practice when he wants. He can come, you know, early enough, get some shots in before practice actually starts. All those things, you know, with COVID protocols and all of that, it was just a really difficult thing to do last year. Right. And so now he's able to get those reps in, and I think as he gets those reps, that's when you start thinking less, right? Like right now, it's almost like when he's in the game, there's like a mental checklist that he goes through every time.
Yeah, yeah.
And once that just becomes a natural part of him playing, that's when I think you'll see that next leap.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it is obviously they're very different players, but when you compare the confidence with Fred in terms of the shots that he's willing to take and the shots that not, he doesn't even think about it. Like it's just, he's going to take that shot versus with Malachi, it's obviously different. Now, of course, I think part of that is just like when you're competing at that position, Delano was coming on strong. You know, Goran was in the starting five at the start of the season, which by the way, in retrospect, now that he's away from the team, why was he starting the first game of the season? What was going on there? But yeah, like, you know, I think there maybe had been some nerves in terms of, okay, I need to make these shots. I need to make these five shots in this game tonight, or I might not play the next night. And that is obviously a hard way to live. But that's, you know, that's the struggle for a lot of these bench guys. You have to build some of that confidence. I think, by the way, V, I think this is going to be a great story. I look forward to when you finish it and put it out on Raptors.com and definitely going to share it. So I'm not going to step on it any more than that. I wanted to ask you about some of the other reserves right now who are getting some time and some minutes. You know, any of these guys standing on to you? Isaac Bonga, Chris Boucher got a little bit of a run last night. Delano is, you know, still in the rotation but playing more off ball. Anybody standing out to you?
I mean, Utah's got to be at the top of the list, right? I think he's a standout in terms of what he gives offensively, defensively. I was encouraged, you know, to see his willingness to shoot last night, and I think that's going to be important for this team because defensively we know what he brings to the table. The other, and yeah, you mentioned Bonga. I think there were some positive signs. I think the offense, that confidence again has to come along. Like when you see him at the 905, you know, obviously there's a confidence knowing that he's probably the best player on the floor, and that's a lot different than when you're playing at the NBA level. And so, you know, with the open shots, the opportunities to drive, he gets a couple of those to go down. I think that'll come. But I do like what he brings to the table. So, you know, with Utah, that's the probably the guy I look to most in terms of leading that second unit.
Yeah, and you know, it's been interesting watching the last few games because Nick has changed up his sub patterns. You know, he's going in earlier in terms of bringing the reserves in earlier, playing more mixed lineups with starters, with bench, less like all bench. Although last night we did see an all bench lineup because Pascal got into foul trouble, and Chris Boucher was in there in the Pascal slot. But yeah, I mean, what have you made from that in terms of, you know, Nick making these quick subs? You know, we're seeing him. He's really trying his very best out there. Obviously, you expect that from the coach. But, like, you know, you're seeing, like, 5 seconds left, you know, in the quarter. Nick's just going to go point quickly to the bench, even though Fred just sat and put his warm-ups on. Get back in the game just to space the floor for this 5 seconds here. Same thing with Pascal. And he's, like, he's really trying his very best to trying to find the different combinations. And are you seeing any of these things start to click a little bit?
You know, I think things will start to click a little bit once the health returns. I think he's done enough where he knows what he's going to get out of certain guys. So with Delano, you know, it's interesting. We talk a lot about Scotty and, you know, Nick Nurse and the coaching staff and everyone being on him to shoot the ball more. I think Delano, they probably had similar conversations with him because you are starting to see him shoot the ball a little bit more as well. I think they're establishing what that bench unit needs to be individually. And I think when they're able to slide into the right slots in terms of the rotation, I think that's when you'll see it all fit together. Because obviously you don't expect at full health Svi Mihailuk to be starting. You don't expect Precious Achiuwa to be starting. And so I think once they're able to slide into their best positions, that's when it'll all come together. I think it came together a little bit on the road before that Pacers game where they were flat. Right. But you look at the three games before that, it seemed like they had hit their stride and were really making a positive contribution. Remember, think back to, what was it? The 2019-20 season when at the start of the season, Nick was playing a really tight rotation and then the injuries happened and then they went out west and Nick had no choice but to play the bench. And then all of a sudden you saw Boucher emerge. You saw Rondé, Hollis Jefferson emerge. And I think a little bit of that happened, obviously not to the same extent, over the course of that road trip. And so I think, again, once the guys are healthy, that's when you'll see sort of those returns yield some productivity.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I wanted to focus on the main guys as well, especially with Pascal. What have you made of his return so far? Are you happy with sort of what he's giving you? I think for me, it's very clear that he's sort of settled in as a secondary player with Fred being the primary. And, No, I think his efficiency has been strong. His defense could be a little bit better. But what have you made from Pascal so far in his return from injury?
I think I expected him to just be okay. If you ask me about the first, 10 games, what I would think. And he's been okay. I think offensively, obviously there was a huge dud against the Utah Jazz. That can't happen. But I think outside of that, he's been decent. I think productivity-wise on the offensive end, there's been a bit of a feeling out process, obviously, and getting accustomed to playing with Scotty when OG was there, with Gary, where his shots are coming from. Obviously, he knows Fred really well. But I think there's a bit of that feeling out process. There's the struggles with the spacing. Obviously, he needs an adequate level of spacing to really get off his game, and I think that's hurt him. And then defensively, I think that's probably where it's been the most, work in progress, we'll put it that way, where, there's at times where he's been beat on back cuts. There has been times where, let's be honest, the Raptors, as much as they advertise these 6'8", 6'9", guys, they haven't proven to be as switchable as you'd expect, right? When you see the blow-bys for Pascal, when you see the blow-bys for Scotty Barnes, they've struggled against that quickness, getting beat from the top of the floor. And so once they get to that level where they are able to put the clamps on at the top of the arc, that's when you say, okay, now you see the switchability, and they're able to keep guys in front. And that should take the Raptors' defense to a higher level.
Yeah, and look, I obviously, this is just an opinion. But I would love to see the Raptors just take one step back from their man, like not necessarily just letting them do whatever, letting them drive left or right, but just giving them just a half step extra, because you do have a lot of size and length on the perimeter. So in order to contain, you give them a little bit extra of you trade off a little bit in terms of how much pressure you specifically put on the ball, but also if you can contain the ball, that might be just as good as pressuring the ball at times. So anyway,
I'm with you though, but especially from a personnel standpoint, right? The amount of ball pressure that you would apply on say a Dylan Brooks shouldn't be the same as, you would apply on say a Jaren Jackson Jr. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think those are the little decisions that they've got to make in game, that would help their defense.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Now I want to talk about Scotty as well, cause that's actually kind of interesting to me. Of late, they've been playing Scotty at backup center. Because, Nick is fed up with Chris, and he's essentially benched them. But what have you made from the results there? I think it's, for him, the surprise of late is, I guess, the three-point shot. And if he can add that to go along with his size, maybe he could play a little bit of backup center.
He could. I think obviously the issue is when you go up against some of the size that the Raptors have had to go up against of late. You think of Domantas Sabonis, you think of Steven Adams.
Yeah.
Exactly. It just gets really tough for whoever it is. And so I think Scotty is doing the best he can in that regard. Offensively, that three ball will help the spacing a huge deal.
Right.
If he's going to continue to take them, continue to make them, and mix that in, because obviously an important part of his game is cutting and offensive rebounding as well. So you don't want to see, it be a trade-off one for the other. You still want to see him bring a little bit of that as well. And so I think if he can find that balance between the two, then I think the Raptors will be in good shape. One thing I wouldn't mind seeing, we talk a lot about Scotty offering the necessary spacing for Pascal and Fred. I wouldn't mind seeing more of, Scotty getting the ball in the post and then Pascal being the one to offer that spacing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so if you can invert it a bit that way, I think you might get some good looks too. Because guess what? We know that Scotty's a really great passer. And he'll find you if you're open. And he's pretty effective in the post, too. So I think that's something that I would like to see a bit more of as well.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you, by the way. To be honest, that's not even inverting the offense. These guys don't have – that's the whole point of playing positionless is that guys can play the different roles, right? You can cycle through some of these things. Yeah, I agree with you there. And what's nice about Scotty playing in the post is that he's a nice passer from the post, too. Like, I think as a post player, sometimes, you want to, get your man as deep as possible and then, spin and get your way to a shot. But at the same time, Scotty's really adept at sort of just finding people. Like there was a play last night. It didn't really fully crystallize, but he screened for Delano. There was no advantage there. But by setting the screen, then he was able to Scotty was able to get into deep post position, and and Delano fed him there. And even though Scotty could have taken that shot specifically just from the post, maybe just turn around for the hook shot or turn around for the jumper or maybe take two hard dribbles and then to do that stuff, he decided to just look at what his options were. And Yuta was cutting through at that moment. Now, I think Yuta was not prepared for the pass because he was mostly just cutting through to space. But even in just making that cut, Scotty made a really, really quick pass, a little touch pass to Yuta. And it actually caught Yuta by surprise. Yuta ended up fumbling out of bounds, and you know that play could have been really nice because Yuta would have been open. But I don't know, to me it just speaks to like Scotty's just sense of the game. Like he can play. He's like the most truly positionless guy for the Raptors that I feel. And I mean, of late obviously the Raptors have been losing, but watching Scotty just by himself has been really exciting, you know.
His feel is tremendous. Like he's just not a rookie in that sense, right? Like you can already put him up there with the best players on the team. And so I would say, you know, the Raptors will probably, as the season progressed, just realize that their offense just functions best when he is the primary decision maker.
Yeah.
And I think as the season goes on, it'll, you know, gravitate more and more that way. And then that's going to slide everyone maybe, you know, down a spot from where they expected coming into the season, but I think it's going to put everyone in their best roles. Because let's face it, when we saw Pascal attacking off the catch in seasons past, that's where he was really at his best.
Yeah.
Right? Like he's able to go downhill. He's able to wreak havoc that way. And I think there's so much to be gained if you can get the offense a bit more shifted towards Scotty.
Yeah, fair enough. More
now,
Scotty.
That being said, last thing I will say is he can't be so up and down in terms of the intensity that he brings,
sure.
Right? Like we have seen sort of first half sort of whether he's feeling it out, whether he's figuring out what the team needs, and then really bringing it start of the third quarter. He needs to find that level where he comes into the game one way and then finishes it that way too.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, look, we've talked enough Raptors. you know the real reason you come on the show is so that we can talk about United.
All right.
Your club. Right. So Ronaldo got dropped.
Mm.
I imagine you're thrilled.
No, but, you know, I think it's just a different style of play. And so I think, you know, they're obviously going to deny that, you know, those instructions didn't come from the manager-to-be.
Mm.
But I can't imagine Caracas comes in and makes a decision like that. In what might be his final game, you know what I mean? It's going to be interesting to see what Ralf Rangnick brings to the table. I'm very excited to see. Obviously, he's been viewed as one of the great football thinkers, and so in terms of his philosophy and fitting guys in, I expect him to find a way to fit Cristiano Ronaldo in and make his plans work. Obviously, the pressing part of it is going to be a challenge, but you know, I do think he'll find a way to make it work. That's what best coaches do. That's what the best players do. They find a way to make it work.
Yeah. It's interesting, by the way, this is like a real, real moment for German managers. You know, you got Klopp, you got Tuchel. I guess you got Flick as well. Like, and yeah, like this, it's time to take over. You know, I feel like for, just like in basketball, how like it gets cyclical, like for a while, like everybody was hiring Spurs assistants. Right. You know, it's kind of like that in soccer as well. Like, now that's all the rage. It's just playing, you know, German-style football, like really high-intensity pressing and all like that. And clearly it's worked. You know, you look at what Liverpool and Chelsea have done in the last few years. So it's a winning approach. So hopefully none of that translates to United. But
I mean, hey, even if it does, I think it's a little late. I don't think you have to worry about United contending for the title this year.
Oh, come on. Come on.
Maybe Champions League. Who knows? I mean, Champions League, it all comes down to what happens on
the
match.
You can't drop Ronaldo in Champions League, though. Come on. That's his time.
I mean, hey, we'll see what Ralph's got up his sleeve.
Wow. All right, V, thanks for joining us on the show. We appreciate your time. Looking forward to reading that Malachi story when it comes out. But that does it for us today. I'm your host, Will Liu, and you've been listening to The Raptor Show, powered by DoorDash on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Make sure you find The Raptor Show wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe, and please rate and review our show. Thanks once again to Amy Otterberg and Vivek Jacob, and we will talk to you tomorrow. And finally, a message from our presenting sponsor. Discover the best eats of your neighborhood on DoorDash without leaving your home. So many options to choose from, and ordering is easy. For a limited time, you can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code THEFAN25. Fuel up for tip-off. Order today through the DoorDash app or DoorDash.com. DoorDash, delicious, delivered. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.